We are all born into this world with unique gifts and talents. Some of us are world-class tennis players, artists, gourmet chefs, carpenters, and doctors and nurses. But some of us have truly out-of-this-world abilities. For some, being able to sense the spirit world would be very frightening. But it's all in perspective. The dead are still people, after all. And everyone has had positive and negative experiences with people on this earth, whether they're dead or alive. And welcome to the third episode of The West London Witch, a podcast where we share stories about those moments where we find ourselves very much not alone. In today's episode, we will be exploring one woman's ongoing journey with the spirit world. Casey is a fellow witch based in Orange County, California, my old stomping grounds. We actually went to university together, and she was kind enough to share with me her process of growing up and growing into her very special gift. So steep a hot pot of witch's brew, put your feet up and relax. I'm Rebecca Strazina, and this is The West London Witch. Episode 3, Spirits Are Just People.
My story with the paranormal really starts when I was 4 years old. And what I basically am now is I'm what you refer to as a sensitive. So I don't see or talk to spirits necessarily. I can sense them. Sometimes in dreams, I feel like I communicate with them. But when I was a child, I was able to see and communicate with spirits. So my story starts really when I was 4 years old. This is when I had my first experience. When I was four, I was going through a lot as a four-year-old. My parents divorced and my father moved out, and suddenly, my mom was a single mom for four kids, and I was the youngest of four kids.
Casey grew up in a home with strong Catholic values. Her mom and her nana helped foster an environment where there was an innate belief in something greater than yourself. When sharing her faith and spiritualistic ideals with Casey, her nana told her all about guardian angels.
So one night, this was after my dad had left, I woke up and there was a woman standing at the foot of my bed. And I shared a room with my sister, and my sister has no recollection of any of this, but she was standing at the foot of my bed, and she was blonde and fair-skinned and had really, like, diaphanous, like, flowy clothing on, and she was glowing. And I asked her if she was my guardian angel, and she said, "My name is Sonia." And that first night, I don't remember exactly what we talked about, but I remember after she left, I got up out of my bed and went to the living room and told my mom that I had a new friend named Sonia.
Casey's mom didn't quite know what to make of Sonia, but she wasn't scared. Sonia kept visiting her at night, and the two struck up a sort of friendship. Casey shared with Sonia her thoughts and her feelings about her dad's leaving. And Sonia, in turn, would ask her questions about herself, like, what did she want to be when she grew up?
One day, my mother and I were just kind of moving things around in the house. We did things like that a lot. We were back in my bedroom and she was putting up a picture of an angel, like a guardian angel, and she was guiding these two kids across a bridge. And I said, "Mom, that's Sonia." And she was like, "Oh, now I understand." She's been seeing, you know, a guardian angel. So one day, Sonia just stopped visiting. And I think my mom had noticed I hadn't talked about her in a while. And she asked me, you know, "Well, where is Sonia?" I said, "Oh, she left. She went away," you know, very matter-of-factly. And I didn't seem upset about it or anything. I don't remember. I'm sure that her and I had a conversation about her leaving. I don't remember. But looking back kind of with my adult eyes, I can see now that I think I saw her as a guardian angel because that was my lens back then. That was my scope of what I knew, whatever, you know, a spirit was. But of course, now that I know more and I've had more experiences with spirits, I can see that she was a spirit.
As an adult, Casey and her mom have spoken more about Sonia with a wider viewfinder, if you will. And her mom has another really lovely theory as to why Sonia might have made herself visible to Casey as a little girl.
She also told me that she even had the thought that maybe Sonia in some way was my older self that was kind of sent to protect and look over my younger self. And I really loved that thought because I've been doing a lot of work in my therapy and my mental health, doing a lot of like inner child work and learning to take care of that inner child. So that really touched me and was really beautiful that she had that thought.
Whoever Sonia was, Casey likes to believe that the two helped each other out. Sonia helped Casey through a difficult time, and perhaps she helped Sonia move on also.
And even though that was my youngest experience, it definitely was not my last.
As Casey grew up, she spent a lot of time with her grandparents, to whom she was very close with. They lived in a tiny city called Kalama in Washington State.
It's a very small town. It has currently today about 2,500 people in it. It's one street, no stoplights. There's one four-way stop at the end of the main street, and that's it. And then the rest of it is kind of dispersed. It's very rural. But it's an old town. It was established as a railroad town in 1870. So a lot of the buildings on the main road are very like historical. They've been there a long time. And one of these places was an antique store that my aunt worked in. And it was called Heritage Square. The building itself was built in 1896. And in 1991, a woman, a Kalama local, she bought the building and restored it and made it into this incredible antique store. And actually, a little known fact that Marlon Brando lived in Kalama for a while, and his son still had a house there for long after his father died. But Marlon Brando loved to go to Heritage Square Antique Store and sit in the window. There were these like big windows on it, and he would sit in the window and just people watch all of the people going antiquing in downtown Kalama. So interesting history with this building. So in the summers, my Nana would take me downtown to run errands with her. But part of the draw of going to run errands with her is that while she was running errands, I got to go and hang out with my aunt at Heritage Square Antiques. And this antique store was just like beautiful. It was huge. And the cash register area was like a bar area where they had a little soda fountain, had all these little rooms off to the side and a banister up top on the second floor that wrapped around the whole place. And there were all kinds of, you know, beautiful things in there. I've always loved vintage clothes, and that was my favorite room. There was a room of vintage clothing. And there was at one time for a long time at this big room that it was right off the left as you came in the door, they had an actual like Romani wagon. And I loved to sit in there because I could feel that there were so many stories in there and so many people that wanted to be heard.
Heritage Square definitely had a strong atmosphere, a place filled with history. And although Casey never saw anything in the wagon, she met other spirits in the sprawling rooms of the shop. One day, Casey was in the vintage clothing room, her favorite spot in the store, when all of a sudden, something beyond the clothing caught her eye.
This woman came kind of into the doorway, and I could tell that she didn't look like she was from our time. Now, again, with my adult eyes, I can see that she kind of looked like a Gibson girl. She had that, you know, blouse with the high neck and the tiny waist with the high waist skirt and the Gibson girl hairdo. And I looked at her and she just smiled and then walked away. And in my heart, I knew exactly what she was. I knew she was a spirit. But of course, I was still a little bit afraid of this gift that I had. And it scared me. And so I went to my aunt and I said, I think there's a lady trying on the clothes. And my aunt just smiled and said, oh, you saw her.
You see, Casey wasn't the only one to have seen this Gibson girl character. Other customers had seen her also. And Casey's aunt would occasionally catch a glimpse of her out the corner of her eye while she was working in the store.
After that, my aunt really tried to foster an acceptance and a love of this gift in me. And when I came in there, she would just tell me, she's like, just go explore and come back and, you know, and tell me what you feel. Tell me what you're experiencing as you walk around. And I did. And I felt so many, like that place was just filled with spirits. It was filled with 100+ years of people that had stories. And I don't know if they were attached to the building itself or the town itself or the items that were in there.
A place like Heritage Square that is so full of history and people's personal items, there was bound to be other spirits connected to the place. And not all of them were as gentle as the Gibson girl.
I only met one spirit in there that was threatening, and I never talked to him either. He was a man with tiny glasses and a mustache and a suit, an old style suit. And I thought it looked like a doctor kind of. I don't know why I got that vibe from him that he was a doctor of some sort. But I did not like him. His presence was threatening and I did not like it. So, I would just kind of catch a glimpse of him sometimes in the store. And I would, if I saw him, I would just immediately run back to my aunt because I didn't want to investigate him or be around him.
To Casey, Heritage Square was more than just four walls filled with oddities and ancient treasures. It was a magical place. It was her playground, her schoolhouse, a space where she explored her gift and encountered so many wonderful spirits. However, this part of our story has a really tragic ending.
In 2009, it caught fire and burned to the ground. And the case has never been solved. They don't know how it caught fire. They don't know who or what happened. All they know is that the owner saw a spark in the floorboards and the whole thing went up. And nobody was hurt. And they even managed to get a few of the more valuable items out before it burned to the ground. But it really had an effect on me when it burned. I mean, it's sad because it's such an old historical building, first of all, but I also just had such a connection to it, to the place and, you know, the experiences that I had there and kind of fostering this gift in myself. I remember going downtown. This was in 2009. I was 19 And I wasn't seeing spirits by then, but I could still feel them. I went back out to my car and I stood across the street and I just kind of looked at the, you know, the remnants of the building, which wasn't much. And I had this overwhelming sense of peace that the spirits who were in there were finally free. And I don't know, maybe they were free because they went somewhere else, or, you know, I don't pretend to know where we go after we pass on. But yeah, it was comforting to know that even though I had lost this connection to this place, this physical place, the spiritual place was set free.
Being connected to the spirit world is not unlike the physical world. Sometimes you can have negative or frightening experiences with people dead or alive, but you have to learn to find your voice and set those boundaries. The thing is, though, that takes an awful lot of bravery, particularly when you're only a small child.
So I mentioned before my Nana and Papa, who I was really close with, and I was staying the night at their house, and they had a back bedroom that I slept in. And I think for some reason, I don't know if I was either too scared to sleep back there by myself. I had felt this presence the whole day, and it was a threatening feeling. I didn't like the way that it felt.
Too scared to sleep in the back bedroom all alone, she asked her Nana and Papa if she could sleep on a little sofa right next to their bedroom door so she'd be close to them.
And I, you know, went to sleep. I turned off the lights and I laid down, and that threatening feeling that I had was all of a sudden like overwhelming. And I don't know if you could chalk it up to childhood fear or, you know, whatever it was, but I had, you know, seen so many spirits, and, you know, I'm only giving you a couple of instances, but I had seen others and had, you know, even had encountered in threatening presences before, but just had never been terrified like this. So when I got that feeling, I just pulled the covers up over my head. And when I did that, there was a light at the end of the couch on a little table, and that light went on and then it went off. And I was so scared. I was frozen. I could not pull the covers up to look. I didn't want to look. I couldn't call out for my Nana and Papa. I could not move. And that light just kept going on and off, on and off. And while I'm sitting there in the most paralyzing fear I had ever felt, all of a sudden the blanket at the bottom of my feet just started pulling up. And I don't know how, but I finally found my voice and I just said, stop. And that's all I could muster. I just said, stop. And I'm like shaking, thinking about it. And it did. When I said, stop, whatever was bothering me went away. I think I remembered that the light was still on and I was not going to pull up my covers to turn it off. But somehow I fell asleep that night, and I woke up in the morning and told my grandparents, and I think they believed me, but they kind of laughed at me too, because I was a very fantastical kid and, you know, always had stories like this kind of. And my mom came to pick me up that day, and they told me, hey, Renee, you have a really spooky kid here. Guess what happened to her last night? And that was kind of the first time I had been called spooky. And I think at the time I didn't like it, but it stuck with my family, especially with my sister.
This incident crossed the line for Casey. It was terrifying. So she needed to set some boundaries and figure out what she wanted to experience from her gift and what she didn't.
I think after I had that experience too, that was so scary, I really didn't want that anymore. It was something that you know, I had been truly terrified of. And it took me a long time to be able to really pay attention to that part of me and not be scared of it, and in fact, embrace it and really go back to those early experiences I had that were wonderful and comforting and warm, and embrace those instead of, you know, that one terrifying experience that I had.
Being able to sense the spirit world is a beautiful gift that not everyone gets to experience. But to be fair, not everyone wants to. And that's cool too.
My sister's always been like, she very much believes in my gift, but it terrifies her. So I know sometimes we'll be in a place together and I'll just kind of straighten up a little bit and I'll start looking around and she goes, "You feel something, don't you?" And she always wants to get out of there immediately, wherever we are.
As Casey grew into adolescence, she stopped physically seeing spirits, but she still senses them and experiences the spirit world on many different levels today. However, no matter how much time passes, she still holds on to those first encounters at Heritage Square and one very important lesson her aunt taught her.
I'd like to kind of end my story with something that my aunt always told me when I was in the antique store with her, because she asked me if I was scared. And I said, you know, no, not really. I said, that guy really scares me. And she said, well, you know, spirits are just people. And that like hit true to me when I was a kid, and it still does now, that spirits, you know, if they are among us, and I believe they are, they're just people. And there are good people, there are bad people, you know, there's everyone in between. But for whatever reason, those people haven't been able to move forward. And I always feel like I can sense them for a reason. And I'm investigating that reason every day. I don't think I truly know what the reason is and why I feel them. But I think I'm grateful that it brings me a larger spiritual connection to something bigger than myself. And I'm, of course, not Catholic anymore. I'm Wiccan. But being raised with that like sense of spirituality and the ability to believe in bigger and better things is something I still use in my craft every day. And I will continually tell people who are scared of ghosts that ghosts and spirits are just people.
So there you have it, folks. Spirits are just people. And although that may be true, when the lights are out and you're tucked in bed all alone, are you comfortable letting them watch you sleep? Do you have a spooky story you'd like to share? I'd love to hear it. Drop me an email at thewestlondonwitch@gmail.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at The West London Witch. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. And come follow us for additional content on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Witch is created by me, Rebecca Strazina. Our sound designer and production magician is the incredible Danny Cross. Our theme music was bespokely written and performed by the wickedly talented Kyle Hall. Our cover art is the beautiful collaboration between Lizzie Wilson and Jake Bowser. Special thanks to Miss Sinead Bowers, our quality control and biggest cheerleader. And thank you to you, all of our listeners all over the world. These are your stories. Thank you for sharing them with us.